this morning. Good morning and welcome. And for those who are again online, we welcome you this morning as part of our service. Normally, we would have this time to share in the offering, but we're doing things differently here as we've gathered together, as you came in. But we do want to thank you. I want to thank two things. I want to be thankful for two things. First of all, I want to be thankful to the board for allowing Sue and I an extended time away for rest, and it was a great time away. Thank you so very much, and I want to thank Chris and Einar and Stephen and Tim Schindel for the awesome job that they did in preaching and in teaching. It's great. Thank you. We have a great church with great leaders and with great men of God and women of God who can share the word of God. It's so wonderful. But we are also thankful for the privilege to give, and I want to thank you for your continued faithfulness. While we're not passing the plate physically, when you came in this morning and as you leave, there is a bucket there. If you do have your offering, you can place it there in the bucket. You can also give electronically via e-transfer and through your bank, and you can do that through giving at hcfsydney.ca. And you can also come to the office on Tuesday mornings from 8 to 12. And we have the ATM machine there that you can also give. So we have a variety of ways that you can continue to support the work of what God is doing here in Sydney. And so thank you for taking advantage of all of those things. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to take and turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And this morning I want to begin the first of a two-part series I've simply entitled Power in the Seed. There's power in the seed. When you look at a seed, and many of you who are gardeners and those of you who grew up on a farm, you understand when I say there's power in the seed. If you grew up in the city like I did in Toronto, you look at a seed and you'll wonder, what on earth can that do? How can that make any kind of a difference? But when you plant a seed, it's incredible the miracle that takes place when after it is properly taken care of and the sun and the water is applied, that it produces an incredible crop. I believe that God is calling us to a place of transformation. He's calling us to a place of change. He's calling us to a place to allow Him to bring change and transformation to our lives, to our church, to Sydney, and to our nation. And it all begins with a seed, a tiny, tiny seed. And this morning as we begin, I want to ask the question, are we listening? Are we listening? A middle-aged man was distraught over his wife's stubborn refusal to admit she had a hearing problem. One day, she asked his family doctor for advice how to convince his wife that she has this problem. The doctor promptly told him that when he got home, he was to confirm the problem by opening the front door and from there asking his wife what's for dinner. Then the doctor said if she doesn't answer, move closer to the kitchen, repeat the question again, and if she still doesn't answer, move right up to her ear and whisper in it, "What's for dinner?" In this way, the doctor assured him, she'll have to admit she has a problem. So the man raced home with joy in his heart and opened the front door. "What's for dinner, honey?" he yelled. When there was no reply, he moved closer to the kitchen and asked again, "What's for dinner, honey?" Still no answer. And so he saw her in the kitchen, walked up behind her, whispered in her ear, "What's for dinner, honey?" And she turned and said, "For the last time, I told you we're having meatloaf." Who had the hearing problem? marriage causes it. Someone says, okay, anyone who needs help, marriage, my office is open on Thursday mornings. But how many can identify with that? How many men, if you're sitting in your easy chair, watching your favorite TV show, you hear your wife in the kitchen say something, and you're nodding in agreement and going, uh-huh, yeah, dear, uh-huh. And then after your show is over, you come into the kitchen, what's for dinner? And your wife says, what do you mean, what's for dinner? I've been asking you for the last half hour. Do you want to go out and get a pizza? Hearing but not listening. Or how many young people are in high school and like me sitting in class listening to the teacher speak words, but it sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 wah. You're hearing something, but you're not listening. Or how many are guilty, as I have been, of being in church, listening to the pastor preach, and while you're smiling and nodding and saying amen at the opportune time, your mind is a million miles away thinking about what it would be like to be on a Mediterranean cruise. Post-COVID, that is. Well, just like we need to learn to listen physically, and we can hear words, we can hear sermons, we can hear what other people are saying, but are we listening? And in the same way, spiritually, we hear the sermon, we read the Bible, we listen to podcasts or YouTube preachers, but are we listening? Jesus confronted this hearing problem in his famous parable in Mark chapter 4. And just before we get into read this together, let me just point out a few things that are significant about this parable. It's believed that this actually was the very first parable that Jesus gave. Oh, he had given other teachings, and he had taught, as he did in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. He had taught the multitudes, but one of the tools that he often used, we're most familiar with, are the parables. And Jesus uses these parables because he wants the people to hear what God is saying. A parable actually means to come alongside. And when Jesus gave these parables, he was saying to the people, I am wanting you to come alongside and hear the message and the mission that God has given me that I want you to join me in. Question is, are we listening? Will we listen? In verse 13 of this parable, Jesus asks this question, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? In other words, this is mega important. It's so important that three of the four gospel writers include it in their writings. And I was taught in Bible college by one of my professors, if you see something that God says once, it's important. If he says it twice, listen up. If he says it three times, you better listen. It's important. God has a message. Jesus is trying to get across a message to his people. And so he begins a parable talking about a sower who goes out to sow seed. The sower probably, as most commentators would suggest, is God, Jesus, or anyone who is going out with his message to proclaim the seed or the word of the gospel. And while the NIV titles this section the parable of the sower and other translations call it the parable of the seed, I've chosen to follow what some of the older translations title it, it's the parable of the soils. Because let's be honest, and if we are honest, we can hear a sermon 1,000 times. We can read the same scripture 1,000 times. We can listen to teaching until the cows come home. But unless we are receiving that word into our hearts, it's not going to bring about any change or transformation. And so the importance of this parable isn't just in the sower who sows, or the seed, the word that is sown, but it's in the condition of the heart that is going to receive the word. So if you got your Bibles, let's begin. And Mark gives us the setting in verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the river's edge. Crowds had come to gather around Jesus. It is the zenith of the popularity of his ministry. They came by the thousands to listen to Jesus and to hopefully experience a miracle from Jesus. And on this day, tradition tells us that Jesus gave this parable along the shores of the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. Chuck Swindoll, in his commentary, describes the topography along, around the bay as a natural amphitheater with the land sloping gently up to where grass and wildflowers grow in the spring. According to tests conducted by an archaeologist and a sound engineer, a single orator standing on a boat anchored offshore could be heard clearly by an audience of several thousand. Can you imagine that many people crowding around Jesus? So what does he do? He tells his disciples, we need to socially distance, so let's get into the boat and let's teach from the seashore. He wants to give as much room for the people to come and to hear what he has to say. And his word is important. And around the crowd are curiosity seekers, people in need for healing and deliverance, zealous troublemakers looking for someone to start a revolution, malcontents hoping for economic change, and also a number of his enemies, scribes, Herodians, chief priests, and Sadducees, listen to Jesus' teaching, hoping to find some political or religious ammunition to take him down. And as Jesus surveyed the multitude, he was not only aware of their diversity, but he was also aware of the wide range of healing, of hearing that was present. There were those there that had ears that were ready to hear what he had to say. Their hearts were pliable. They were wanting and anxious to hear God's word. There were those who were pulled apart by the cares and the anxieties that had been taking place in Palestine and Israel in those days. They were being pulled apart while they were hearing God's word. They were being pulled apart by the worries of their day. Then there were those who would hear who were present, who through life's experiences had just grown hard. They were there because maybe their mother brought them. Their husband brought them. Their wife brought them. But they weren't there to listen. Nevertheless, Jesus had a word for them. And it was his desire that all those who would listen with receptive hearts. And I believe that's his desire for every man and woman and boy and girl today. That as they hear God's word, as they hear the good news of the gospel, as they hear what God has to say, that they would listen with hearts that are open and ready to receive the transformation, the transformative power that God's word would bring. Are you listening? Are you hearing? Do you hear what he has to say to you today? Verse 3, he looks at the crowd and he says, listen. Literally, it means to listen up. This is important. I remember when our kids were younger, and even up to this day, if they were not paying attention in church, all Sue would have to do is snap her finger and they would just sit up at attention. And to this very day, it doesn't matter where they are, where Sue is in the room, if they're not listening up, all she has to do is snap her finger and boom, they just sit right up. And that's what Jesus, that's the force of this word. Jesus is saying to the people, listen up. I've got something to tell you. And he proceeds with this parable. Some of the commentaries I read suggested that perhaps Jesus saw a farmer in the distance who was spreading his seed. And he immediately uses this as a parable to teach his message that he wants to give. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, 60, and some 100 times. I read in my studies, one commentator said that a farmer in those days would be happy if he had 3 times the yield or 5 times the yield, but to grow, have a 30, 60, 100 point yield, that was unheard of, and that's something that would blow everyone's mind. Someone look at this parable and look at the farmer. And according to today's way of farming, what a waste. In our ways of farming, we can go across the prairies and we see the neat rows of the wheat that blows so wonderfully, methodically in the wind. But it wasn't that way in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, a farmer did not plant wheat or other crops in neat little rows. He didn't plant seeds by going down the path and saying, I'm going to put one seed here, and then 6 feet here, and then another 6 feet there. No, it was not that neat and clean. Because of the way the land was, it was a very rocky piece of land, and the field that they were working on was actually part of a valley between two hills. In the springtime, the waters would come off the hills and bring down the dirt, and so the dirt would flood the valleys, and so there would be very different levels of soil that were there. And so the farmer would take a bag of seed that was wrapped around his waist or shoulders. He would put his hand in the seed, and he would take a handful of seed, and he would begin casting it like this. He would put his hand in again, and he would cast it again like this. He would put his hand in, and he'd be walking, and some of it fell on rocky ground that had grown hard because so it had been walked on for so long. Some of it would fall, and it would catch a little bit of topsoil. It would bear fruit, but only until the sun came down and destroyed it. Some of it would come down, but it would be choked up by the weeds that grew alongside of it. But some of it would also fall along the ground that was fertile and rich and ready for the seed and ready to bring forth fruit. Are you listening this morning? Are you hearing this morning? Do you hear what God's trying to say to us this morning? The farmer casts the seed, not because he's wasting the seed. but because he knows how precious is the seed, because he knows how precious it is, he wants to see it grow. He sees the ground that is dry. He sees the ground that is worthless to the natural sight, but by casting his seed, he knows by the miracle of God that it is going to bring forth fruit, and what he is going to do, God is going to multiply. Never think that it's a waste of time to share the gospel. Never think for a moment that the person sitting next to you at Tim Hortons or whatever coffee shop, and they ask you a question, never think that you're wasting an opportunity to share God's word. Sometimes we wonder, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I wasting my time? Am I wasting my time with these young people? Am I wasting my time with my kids? Am I wasting my time with my spouse? Am I wasting my time? Folk, when you're sowing God's word, you are never wasting your time. Just like the sower casts out, God says, cast out the seed. Let me determine where it falls. Let me determine how it's going to take root. You do what I've called you to do. Cast out the seed. Are you listening this morning? Do you hear him this morning? Jesus continues, and in verse 9 says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Then when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. And I look at this and I go, huh? Jesus, what are you saying? Jesus, what are you talking about? This was obviously one of his hard sayings. So we need to take some time to pray and ask God, what are you saying? Around those listening were those who had spent their lives studying God's word, teaching God's word, walking according to the law of God's word, doing everything they could to be exactly what they felt God wanted them to be. And in spite of everything they did, their hearts only grew harder and harder. There were those who attended every meeting Jesus gave. There were those who saw multitudes being healed. There were those who heard Jesus' words, but rather than responding to Jesus, they responded to the word by allowing their hearts to grow hard, wondering, this isn't for me. I'm good enough. I don't need this. This is for someone else. And the more excuses they gave, the harder their hearts became. Then there were those who were just too busy. Other seed fell on rocky places. Oh, these are the people. They heard the word. They received it with joy. But they didn't take time for that word to take root. And so when trouble came, when persecution arose, they fell away. Then there were those who had divided hearts. They were still others like seed sown among the thorns. They heard the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And as Jesus gazed over the crowd and he understood these four groups of people standing before him, it's not much different today. There are still people, even who may be here this morning, who have heard the word. You have listened to the word. You may have even taught the word. You know it inside out, but you haven't allowed the word to penetrate your heart. And your heart has become hard. Maybe it's become hard because of unforgiveness. Maybe it's become hard because of you didn't get an answer that you thought you would get from God, and you've allowed your heart to become hard. Oh, you believe the word, you understand the word, you could probably teach it better than I could, but your heart has been closed to hear the word. And then there were others in his day, like there are today, who hear the word, and with enthusiasm, you take it. Yeah, I got something from God. I got a healing. I got an answer to prayer. Look what God did. But you didn't take the time, and you haven't taken the time to allow his word to take root in your heart. It's true of new Christians as well as it is those who have known the Lord for years. We can become so used to hearing God's word that we can allow it to either bounce off our hearts or we just don't allow it to take root. So that when trouble or persecution comes, when people start rejecting us because of our faith, we just turn away. And then there are, of course, those who hear the word and they receive the word. And ironically, the word does take root. Their hearts aren't hard, their hearts aren't shallow, but their hearts are divided and crowded. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Did you notice this morning the difference between the thorny group people and the shallow group people who are looking for comfort? Here, the word of God takes root, it begins to grow, but it can't compete with other stuff. There are those who have heard the word, they've received the word, they've acted upon the word, they're serving because of the work that the word has done in their lives. But when summer comes and the beautiful sunshine comes and there's this beautiful breeze on the ocean waters, guess where they go? I've got to go sailing. I've got to go do something else. And the tragedy is that this group, they hear the word, they receive the word, they've allowed the word to even take root to a degree, but their hearts are divided between what God they know God is telling them to do and what their flesh wants to do. They're divided. They're crowded. Many of these people call themselves followers of Jesus. They would have a testimony that at some time in the past, they responded joyfully to God's word. They embrace his word and call themselves Christian. But when you look at them and compare them to their next door neighbors, there is no evidence of transformation. They may have been confirmed, but they're not converted. They talk right, they walk right, they do all the right stuff, but there is no life. To them, Jesus is just someone or something to just put on the shelf along with other things. And because there are so many other things, he gets choked out. Choked out by how? Number one, worry. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 6, where he said, do not worry. In other words, do not allow the things and the cares of this world to choke what God is doing in your life. He wants to bring transformation. He wants to bring new life. He wants to bring newness. He wants to bring change. But are we listening? Are we listening? Or are our lives like the young woman who got engaged? Her and her boyfriend are sitting in a restaurant. The music is playing in the background. There's a full moon that's shivering on the ocean on the other side of their restaurant window. It's a beautiful ambiance. And finally, he gets on one knee, opens up a box with a beautiful diamond ring. She is absolutely glowing with excitement. And he says, "My sweetheart, I love you. I would climb the highest mountain for you. I would do everything for you. My sweetheart, I love you, but I, even though I don't have a Lexus like Johnny Brown down the street, I don't have a big house like Johnny Brown, but I love you with all my heart. Will you marry me?" And she looks at her boyfriend and says, "Oh, my love, of course I will marry you. I love you with all my heart. But tell me a little bit more about Johnny Brown." You see, that's the problem. That's one reason why the Word of God doesn't take root in so many people. We say we love the Lord. We say we love His people. We say we want to do God's will. But there is no life change because Jesus only has a part of our heart. Our heart has been partitioned off into other things. Jesus doesn't want a part of our hearts. He wants our whole hearts. Finally, there was people that were listening that were good soil. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Here with these people, the Word of God doesn't bounce off their hearts. It does not momentarily flourish and give them the Holy Ghost goosebumps. They're not divided in their hearts, competing with other things of this world, but theirs is a heart that allows God to take deep root in their hearts and producing a life of godly character, producing good works, for we are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance to do. So the question is, are you listening? Where do we find ourselves this morning? Are you a productive, persevering believer? I'm not asking, are you perfect? But have you opened your heart and honestly responded to His word, allowing your life to be pliable to the Holy Spirit? Are you grateful for His grace? Are you hungry for His righteousness? Are you growing toward maturity? That's the ideal soul. That's the heart that we all want to be. Or are you just too busy and preoccupied to think about it? When you look at your priorities of your life, do you see thorns choking out His word that has been planted in your heart? Are you shallow this morning? Are you in the shallow soil of the superficial seeker? Or maybe your heart's hard. I've got news for you this morning. If you will hear Him today, if you will not just hear the words, if you will listen to His heart to you, He will bring you transformation. He will take that hard heart and He will crack it with the love of His grace so that His word will grow deep into you, causing your heart to flourish. God is ready. Are you? God is ready to hear your cry. He's ready to transplant you to better soil if you let Him. See, Jesus gave this parable to help people determine what kind of soil they represent and then decide what kind of soil they will be. And that's very different from some ways that this is taught, that, you know, there is the hard soil, there is the the shallow soil, and basically that's it. God's determined. No, God, what Jesus is saying is, listen to what I'm saying. God's seed, God's word is being given to you. Are you hearing? And if you're hearing, will you receive? And if you receive, God is the one who will bring forth a rich harvest, more than any of us could ever imagine. Can you say amen? So this morning, and before the worship team comes to lead us in one more song or two, are you listening? And will you choose to let his seed take root and fill your whole heart today? The power is in the seed. Its effectiveness will be determined by your willingness, by my willingness, to let it take root and to transform our lives. Father, I thank you for this day. And Father, I pray for each person that's in this room today. I'm praying, Lord, for my friends who are watching online. And I pray that we would all hear and listen to what you're saying. You don't want us to leave the way we came in. You desire to bring transformation, renewal, and life to our lives, to our families, to our church, and to our nation. And Father, we turn our ears to you. Forgive us for allowing the things of this world, the opinions of other people, to allow our hearts to grow hard. Forgive us for having a divided heart that puts you into another box somewhere in the back. And Lord, may you fill our whole hearts. We give you our whole hearts today. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worship team, would you lead us this morning as